So often we forget that we are his representation in the world, that we are the light of the world, that our actions reflect his nature, are a light to the world. And there's nothing else. There's no other way they're going to see anything apart from reading the true word.
Welcome to this Thursday edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a daily radio outreach from Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. And our teacher is Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church. Greg, today you'll be continuing in your series in Ezekiel.
Yes, I will, Dave. And we're going to see in this 20th chapter of Ezekiel that God acts for his name's sake. Now, what are we talking about? Well, let's turn together to Ezekiel chapter 20 to find out.
Well, thanks, Greg. And as always, if you have to miss a portion of today's broadcast, you can hear this entire program online at etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. Now, let's join Greg for today's message.
Well, what motivates you in what you do? What motivates you at work? What motivates you at home? What motivates you when you're in the world? What motivates you when you take time off? What motivates you in your hobbies? What motivates you? What motivates you in the things that you do? Well, certainly, for believers, we are motivated and are to be motivated by a love for the Lord. We're to love him with all our heart, mind, and soul. We're to be motivated by a fear and reverence of him, certainly. We know that's not always the case for us. We know we're imperfect, we fail, we get sidetracked, we forget. But there's one element of love and fear of him that I think is often forgotten and we need to be reminded of. And that is a motivation in what we do for God's reputation and namesake. And I think we need to be reminded of that because so often we forget that we are his representation in the world, that we are the light of the world, that our actions reflect his nature, are a light to the world. And there's nothing else. There's no other way they're going to see anything apart from reading the true word in that sense. And so with that in mind, I believe we're going to see today a passage in Ezekiel that God, through Ezekiel, reveals how he deals with the rebellion of Israel and how he has been very gracious with them up to this point for his name's sake. And from this, we're going to be reminded how we need to live for his name's sake also. Would you turn your Bibles to Ezekiel chapter 20? Now, again, the context of Ezekiel, Scripture reveals over and over again that the nation of Israel continued to disobey God. And even though the prophets warned of impending judgment, they continued to disobey. And as you know, after the northern kingdom was taken into captivity, the southern kingdom continued and Israel continued to be warned by God's prophets. But yet they rejected them. Now in the southern kingdom, we know that God sends finally Babylon to chastise the Israelites and to judge those who subsequently did not believe. And we see, first of all, in 605 B.C. that Nebuchadnezzar sieges Jerusalem the first time, takes Daniel and his friends into captivity. Then in 597, Nebuchadnezzar seizes Jerusalem again. He takes Ezekiel and 10,000 others. And then in 586, Jerusalem was brutally seized for 18 months and ultimately destroyed in accordance with God's word from Deuteronomy. Now, within this, the book of Ezekiel centered around that third and final 18-month siege. The first 24 chapters are dated, and they are oracles leading up to that siege. Then 25 through 32 are prophecies during that 18-month siege. And then in 33 to 48, there are prophecies after the fall of Jerusalem. Now, Ezekiel is prophesying to a captive people concerning the sins of those who are about to be judged by God. In an awful siege in which many would be killed and the remaining would be brutally taken captive to Babylon. Yet those remaining in Judea are still in grievous sin, listening to the voices of false assurance through the false prophets. And that had spread to the captives in Babylon. We have seen Ezekiel's commission as the Lord on his throne coming from the north. We see commissions Ezekiel. We've seen the siege signs, the sign sermons. We've seen a tour of Israel's secret sins. We've seen that they were idolatrous and broke the heart of God, and that within that they had perverted the word of God. And we saw the elders come to inquire of Ezekiel, yet they had idols in their hearts, and God would not answer them with the answer they desired, but according to their sin. And we've seen God through Ezekiel rips to shreds the justification for God not judging, but justifies that God is going to judge. Then we saw some parables concerning Jerusalem. The unfruitful vine, the parable of the unfaithful wife, the parable of the eagle and the twig. And we saw what God does to the proud. Then in Ezekiel 18, we came to the pinnacle of God's case, in a sense, against Israel, in which he makes that case that the soul that sins will die, that all souls are his, that he takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but rather they would turn and live. Then last week we saw a lamentation, and in this lamentation God smashes the misguided hopes of the exiles who thought that their rulers would deliver them. They certainly didn't, and they certainly wouldn't. And that brings us to our passage today, which we're going to begin to see that God functions for his namesake and for his glory. So turn to Ezekiel chapter 20 if you're not already there. Now, I'm not going to read through the whole passage as I usually do, because we're going to have 26 verses today, and it actually goes farther than that. But I'm going to start reading, and then we'll go through those verses as we walk through the text. Ezekiel 20, verse 1, "Now it came about in the seventh year, in the fifth month, in the tenth of the month, that certain of the elders of Israel came to inquire of the Lord and sat before me. And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, speak to the elders of Israel and say to them, Thus says the Lord God, do you come to inquire of me? As I live, declares the Lord God, I will not be inquired of by you. Will you not judge them? Will you not judge them, O son of man? Make them know the abominations of their fathers and say to them, Thus says the Lord God." Now I'm going to stop right there and we'll start to look at this passage. The first thing we see is the elders inquire of God, and we see God's answer. Again, verse 1, "Now it came about in the seventh year, fifth month, tenth of the month, that the certain elders of Israel came to inquire of the Lord and sat before me." Now, we need to ask the question, whenever God gives a date, why does he give the date? Obviously, it's important. All scripture is inspired by God and is profitable, and there's a reason for this date here. Now, we see here this seventh year is in reference to the exile of Ezekiel and Jehoiachin in 597. So it's the seventh year of that exile. That same exile in which Ezekiel and 10,000 others were taken. And thus that exile would be about 597. So our passage here takes place around 591, 590 BC. And why is that important? Because the 18-month siege that would end in Jerusalem's destruction, the temple walls, and the final exile is drawing near. It's within 2 to 3 years away. It's coming very close. And secondly, and this is important, it's been a year since the elders came to him before, and we have those statements going up to this portion now in our book. And now a year has gone by, and they come back. So it's important to realize that. And with that in mind, so a year has gone by, the elders come back to Ezekiel, and look at the end of verse 1. "Certain of the elders of Israel came to inquire of the Lord and sat before me." And you might be saying, well, what are these elders? And obviously the word elder speaks of age. We saw this back in chapter 14. The elders of Israel were, in Old Testament times, the wise elderly gentlemen. And in a theocracy such as Israel, where they claimed as God to be their God, the Lord to be their God, they were the spiritual leaders. Now, one quick note. In the New Testament, the concept of elders is slightly different. In the New Testament, it speaks of godly men who seek the mind of Christ, who proclaim and teach his word, who exhort and refute in sound doctrine and protect the body of Christ to threats to the word. And in Scripture, the New Testament, elder is not bound by an age requirement, as we see with the example of Timothy, but yet is bound by the requirements of godly proven character over time. Now, in the 6th century B.C., the older, more mature, elderly men were the spiritual leaders. They were the elders of Israel. Now, it was a custom for those in Israel to go to the prophet to seek a word from God. He was their prophet. He shared their word, "Thus saith the Lord." So they would go. And Ezekiel, we know, was not only a priest, but he was also a prophet, very clearly, as we see here. And so the elders would come, and here they're coming again to Ezekiel. And notice, end of verse 1, they are coming to inquire of the Lord. They don't want Ezekiel's opinion. They want the Lord's opinion, okay? They want to receive an answer concerning something. And we understand that. We go to the Lord. We ask him for wisdom. We ask him for those things. But here we're going to see they want to know something, but God's not going to share that. He's not going to share what it is. He's not going to share anything back to them concerning what they ask, as we'll see. Now, with that in mind, you might remember back in chapter 14 when they first came to Ezekiel, that they came and God didn't care about their inquiry, just as we'll see here. He didn't care at all about it because there was something in the way. Turn back to Ezekiel 14. Just hold your finger in 20 and go back to 14. Ezekiel 14, verse 1. Then some of the elders of Israel came to me and sat down before me. And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, these men have set up idols in their hearts and have put right before their faces the stumbling block of their iniquity. Should I be consulted by them at all? And the answer, clearly in context, as we saw, was no. And so we have the same thing here, as we're going to see. We have the same thing. They're coming to inquire with still sinful hearts, as we're going to see. What God had shared with them before didn't affect them. They haven't responded yet. It's been a year, and Ezekiel has been sharing with them the truth of God. And our hearts, I believe, are still divided. You say, how do we know they're still divided? Well, look at our passage. He says here in verse 3, Son of man, speak to the elders of Israel and say to them, back in chapter 20, Thus says the Lord God, Do you come to inquire of me? As I live, declares the Lord, I will not be inquired by you. Well, wait a second. God's a gracious God. He's open to everyone who comes to him. Wait a second. God's saying, no way. We have a principle here that God will answer from certain situations. He will not in others. Now, why? Notice he says, will you judge them? Will you judge them, son of man? Obviously, the issue is sin. Obviously, they haven't responded from when they were confronted last time when God didn't answer them. When he showed them and addressed their sin. When he desired patiently to work with them, that they would see their sins, that they would turn. Now, you might remember here, we see the word of the Lord came to Ezekiel, and it came again. And you might remember back in chapter 3, the elders in Israel and the Israels in exile were a rebellious house. The Lord said, hey, they're not going to listen. They're not going to listen. I've hardened your face because they're hardened. And they're not going to listen because they're a rebellious house. And the Lord also made Ezekiel mute so that he could not speak unless God spoke through him. So that he could not address them. He could not reprove them apart from God's word coming forth. And I'll read this for Ezekiel 3:26. Moreover, I'll make your tongue stick to the roof of your mouth so that you will be dumb and you cannot speak, cannot be a man who rebukes them for their rebellious house. Obviously, he knew Ezekiel's temptation would be to rebuke him. And he says here, but when I speak to you, I will open your mouth and you will say to them, thus says the Lord God. He who hears, let him hear. He who refuses, let him refuse, for they are a rebellious house. So these elders come to inquire of the Lord, and the Lord says, do you come to inquire me as I live? End of 3, declares the Lord, I will not be inquired of by you, as I declares the Lord God, Yahweh Elohim, I will not be inquired of you. And we need to remember that when we come to God to inquire of him, if we have sin in our lives, he doesn't hear. Well, he hears, but he chooses not to hear. You know, the reality is you've got people who will reject Christ all their lives, and then when they're in the last second or whatever it might be, they yell, hey, Jesus, whatever it might be. I remember I watch aviation accidents because I used to be a pilot to see what they did wrong, that I would not do those things. And there was this pilot coming in for Western Airlines into Mexico, and he's coming in, and he's coming in to land swearing over the radio, the voice recorder, swearing, using God's name in vain. And then when he sees he's about to hit a truck that's on the runway, he yells out, oh, Jesus. No, as if he's asking him to save him. Well, does God listen? The reality is the Lord God will listen to those who are convicted. Whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. But if we have sin that we are unwilling to give up, we're not willing to be saved, he doesn't listen. The reality is, even David said for believers, if I regard wickedness in my heart, the Lord will not hear. Hey, if I'm holding on to sin that I'm not wanting to go, it's not, hey, I'm struggling, I can't stop, help me. That's different. It's, I'm not wanting to give it up. I'm holding on to it. He chooses not to hear. Indeed, Peter says that the believer's prayer can be hindered. Husbands, when you disobey God and you do not live with your wives according to wisdom and grant them honor as a follower of the grace of life, if you're living continually like that, God doesn't hear. We know the Lord God doesn't answer the prayers that we have for the wrong motives. We see in James chapter 4, verse 3, you ask and do not receive because you ask with the wrong motives so that you may spend it on your pleasures. You adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is hostility towards God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. And the Lord, speaking to his people Israel, who were in unbelief, in Isaiah 59 said, the Lord's hand is not so short that it cannot save, nor his ear so dull that it cannot hear, but your iniquities have caused a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you, so that he does not hear. If you're an unbeliever, you're unwilling to deal with your sin, God doesn't hear your prayer. If you're a believer and you're unwilling to deal with your sin, God doesn't hear your prayer. He doesn't respond to it because the issue is sin. And he wants the best for you and he loves you. And he takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but rather they'd repent and live. So how about you? Did you come today with church with a divided heart? Are you looking for a church by your own motives and wisdom? Something that'll fill your needs, take care of your heart, tickle your ears? Did you come to inquire the Lord to fulfill your own desires? Well, are you looking for something from God without dealing with your sin? Hey, we all sin. We all mess up. It's where's your heart at? Are you a confessor of sin or are you one who is hardened? You see, God will not answer. He chooses not to hear because of your sin, which must be dealt with. Now, remember, again, we saw this in Ezekiel 14, where God doesn't care about the content of your prayer. Look back again, Ezekiel 14, verse 5. You say, that doesn't sound very nice. How could that be so loving? Well, he is very loving because sin is a terrible thing. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Ezekiel 14, verse 4. Therefore, speak to them and tell them, thus says the Lord, any man of the house of Israel who sets up idols in his heart, puts right before the face the stumbling block of his iniquity, and then comes to the prophet, I, the Lord, will be brought to give him an answer in the matter in view of the multitude of his idols. I'm going to deal with the sin in order to lay hold of the hearts of the house of Israel who are estranged from me through all their idols. He's going to deal with sin. That's what God's going to do. So notice what he says here back in our passage. The elders are going to get again the answer they don't expect. He says, end of verse 3, do you come to inquire of me as I live, declares the Lord God, I will not be inquired of you. Now he's going to speak to Ezekiel, will you judge them? Will you judge them, son of man? The answer is going to be judgment. The answer is going to be a declaration concerning what God has done and how they are deserving of his judgment. That's what this passage is about. The judgment of these exiles, elders, through the word, by the word, to reveal that they are ripe for judgment just as Jerusalem is. Okay, so notice here, first of all, now at this point from 5 to verse 32, we're going to have Israel's abominations made known in the context of will you judge them, okay? They'll be made known. And now we're going to see three phases of Israel's rebellious history. We're going to see Israel's rebellion in Egypt, which is not any other places of Scripture, by the way, it's here, but it's not in other places. We see their rebellion in Egypt. We're going to see their rebellion in the wilderness, and we're going to see their rebellion in the land, and we're going to see how God dealt with that. Now, today, for time's sake, we're just going to look at the first two, and then next time we'll come into the last portion. So notice, first of all, rebellion in Egypt. Now, we're going to see a pattern here in this passage, and the pattern is God's love displayed, and then a rebellious response, and then a gracious stay of judgment for his namesake. That's what we're going to see. We see that God has been very gracious to Israel. He has been very gracious, but as we'll see, there's a time where his patience runs out. Notice God's love displayed, and how was it? Israel was chosen and given his word, and God was made known to them. Notice the first thing, we see the choosing of Israel. Verse 5, thus says the Lord, God on the day when I chose Israel. Well, what day did he do that? Well, the Lord God, middle of 5, swore to the descendants of the house of Jacob and made myself known to them in the land of Egypt. Now, remember, Joseph went to Egypt, right? He was a slave brought there and through God's providence was made the leader, right? The second in command. And then we have Jacob coming with the brothers and then dying there. We have the nation, the infancy of the nation in the beginning in Israel, and they were to be there 430 years. And yet within that, there became a king that arose that did not remember Joseph, and they went into captivity because they were scared of them and the numbers that they had. And so here we see that God had revealed himself while they were in Egypt during that captivity. Now, God had revealed his promise to take them to the glory of the lands of Israel. Notice what he says here. End of verse 5, saying, I am the Lord your God. On that day I swore to them to bring them out of the land of Egypt into the land which I had selected for them, flowing with milk and honey, which is the glory of all the lands. God swore to them. He revealed himself to them. He did so. Now, when did God choose Israel? Well, certainly he chose to be a nation back with Abraham, back in Genesis, but practically speaking, they weren't a nation until God had brought forth the fulfillment of his word to make them numerous. And that happened in Egypt. And so it's in Egypt they became his nation, basically. That's the case. They became a nation, practically speaking, while in Egypt. And we see this statement of what God would do to them, how he swore to them, in Exodus chapter 6, he made known his promise to deliver them to the land. But with that promise, notice in our passage, verse 7, he said, cast away each of you the detestable things of his eyes, and do not defile yourselves with the idols of Egypt, for I am the Lord your God. Now, this context happened in Egypt. Now, you won't find this statement here, but God did it through and during that time while they were in Egypt. The Hebrews indeed knew of the Lord while they're in Egypt. He was certainly knew of him. And we'll see in a moment, God used Moses to lead them out. So they were given the truth that God revealed himself while they were a nation in Egypt. And he spoke his word to them concerning his love and the requirements of that love, which is to turn from your idols, and the implication is to turn to me. That's always the requirement of a relationship with God. Turn from your sin to me. That's what it is. That's what you see the Lord calling upon us to do. Cast away each of you your detestable things of his eyes, and do not defile yourselves with the idols of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. So at this point, what was Israel's response? Now it's in Egypt, by the way, in Egypt. What was his response to his love demonstrated by his word? They rebelled against him and his word. Verse 8, but they rebelled against me and were not willing to listen to me. They did not cast away the detestable things of their eyes, nor did they forsake the idols of Egypt.
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. You can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you, thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, in your message today, you said that not every prayer is answered, and I've always heard that every prayer offered by a true believer is answered with a yes or a no or a wait. So are you saying that that's not true?
Dave, what I'm saying is what we saw today, that these elders of Israel came with sin in their lives and God wasn't going to answer them, just like he wasn't going to answer them earlier in Ezekiel. And they hadn't learned their lesson that they needed to deal with their sin, and that's what God would deal with. Now, with that said, Dave, it's important to realize that this is not what our passage is about. Our passage is about God's namesake. More specifically, that in Egypt, in the wilderness, and in the land, God dealt with Israel for his namesake. Well, what do we mean by that? Well, join us tomorrow for our next edition of Equipping the Saints, and you'll find out.
As we close today's broadcast, it's our prayer that the Word of God has done its work in your life and that you've been challenged and encouraged to follow Christ more closely. If you'd like a complimentary CD of today's broadcast, call us toll-free at 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. And if you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Well, we hope you'll make plans to join us again tomorrow, right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a broadcast ministry of Equipping Bible Church.